Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're here to hopefully give you some information and to that you would enjoy the day and enjoy everything. I need to give a disclaimer right now, and the disclaimer is you may be listening to something that it would be hazardous to your health or something to that effect, because the last week's show was banned by YouTube. So because we apparently mentioned some medical terminology, and I'm not sure if that's my mentioning it right now is going to get this banned, but we mentioned some medical terminology, didn't go any farther into that, but we know that we're at odds with YouTube in some way. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold, are we still, I have to ask, are we still up on the archives at CCTA?
They can't take my archives.
Okay. You can still hear us at cctaxpayers.com.
And go at about 7 minutes and 25 seconds in, you will hear the offending discussion.
Okay. Alan?
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
The offender, Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Yay.
Well, now we know that censorship is real.
Censorship is real. And censorship, it may not be at all the balance that is supposed to be. Yes.
And speaking of censorship, 2 weeks ago, 2 Mondays ago, we went to a meeting of the commissioners for the city of Havelock. And they were, at issue was a discussion of whether or not the city could censor comments on their website. When public comments, could they be deleted or taken down or whatever? Did the city have the right to do that? And a number of people got up and pointed out that the Supreme Court just ruled that they couldn't do this and talked about the issue. At that point, the commissioners went into closed session. They didn't tell us what they were going into closed session for. And when they came out a little while later, they decided that this issue needed a committee to decide, and they were not going to decide it. Now, just think about that for a minute. They did not hear the voices of the public who came and spoke. This past Monday, we were at a meeting of the Craven County Board of Commissioners. The Craven County Board of Commissioners voted on a measure that would change the drinking hours on Sunday in Craven County, and they did it without a public hearing. And many of us who felt, number one, that it needed a public hearing, and number two, that it was a bad idea, showed up and spoke. As a result of the public coming out and speaking, two of the commissioners changed their vote, and the measure did not pass. And I mention that to show you that one board listened to what the public said, and one board chose not to. And the voters need to remember that in November. They need to remember who listened and who didn't.
And also, I think we need to remember how important it is just to show up, because if nobody had shown up, the results would have definitely been different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that there's a lesson in this, too. And I've observed this, I guess, more recently in the last few years, is that you select people or people who go serve on boards or we give them authority over it. Could be a homeowners association, could be a school board, could be a county commissioners. And what you see is they begin to identify with their own committee first. The people who put them in those positions become secondary and less important to them, and your opinion is less important.
Agree.
For example, most political parties have a process by which they introduce resolutions, which is a time-honored way of the people communicating with people in power what they would like to have addressed, changed, modified, what have you. And typically, it's been my experience that who resists resolutions the most, who does not want to see resolutions? The people on these boards. When they get in there, they want to do what they believe is right. The idea that they represent the people becomes secondary, not to all of them. There's some exceptions. But I think generally that's what I've seen happen. The boards get together, they make a decision, and they don't like anybody interfering with questioning that. And that's really a real problem for any constitutional republic as we're supposed to be.
I just have a question on process. You said they were going to form a committee on this. So they have a committee, they come up with a study, they say, here's what we want to do. The board still has to vote on that, correct? It doesn't get them out of... The process has to still be approved by that board.
It still has to be approved by the board. And the only other thing that the board did, rather than changing their erroneous statement or whatever it was, they are told the city of Havelock officials, ignore that rule that we gave you. So we gave you a rule, but ignore it.
Well, there's two things bureaucrats do when they have an issue they don't want to deal with. One, appoint a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Two, claim the committee, which is bound to agree with them, proves that the overwhelming support is for whatever they wanted to do to begin with.
In view of that, I want to talk about an article that recently appeared on a website called Issues and Insights. And it was about a Rasmussen poll. And they polled Americans, average Americans, and 7% said they would want their candidate to win by cheating. Now, that's not real good news. But then they went and polled what they considered the elite 1%. These are the well-educated urban dwellers who make more than $150,000 a year and think Joe Biden is doing a good job.
And also what I remember is they're engaged with their representatives in government. So not only are they the upper crust, but they've got people's ears.
Yes.
The big money donors.
And that number, the number of people who said they would want their candidate to win by cheating in the elite 1% was 69%. That's scary to me. Now, these are some of the other things that they found out about that group. Nearly 60% say that there is too much individual freedom in America. More than two-thirds favor rationing energy and food to combat climate change. 70% trust the government to do the right thing most of the time. And 67% say that teachers and educational professionals should decide what children are taught rather than parents. And 74% say they are financially better off than before COVID, compared with 20% of the general public. Those are scary numbers.
How many people were polled?
That I don't know.
Was this all came out of Davos?
This was a Rasmussen poll, and
but it's of the elite 1%.
Of the elite 1%, the people they put the people who were urban dwellers making more than $150,000 a year, who were politically involved, in a separate polling group.
Well, before you get too sad and discombobulated, I would be interested in how Rasmussen formed the core people, because they obviously pick some if they have educated people who are in contact with their political representatives. So they obviously picked some from that group. Mm-hmm. Who else did they pick from? And how many people did they pick? If you're only talking percentages, you could be talking about a very small group, but the percentage sounds big.
That is true.
But let's go, folks, I need the local statistician to come by. When you talk about seven sigma of the statistical, the bell curve and being outside of the bell curve, I think this 1% is outside of the bell curve, isn't it?
Sure.
I mean, so
is 7%.
So we're going to take this as being normal because they look at a fringe element?
Well, that's the danger of looking at polls. Unless you know what their target group was, how they picked it, and how many people they picked, and what's the ratio between Democrats and Republicans, it's very misleading, because you could have a very small number that agree with there's too much individual freedom, but the percentage sounds huge.
Okay, Pat, I'm going to tie this back into what Alan was saying about people getting in power. If you look at who is controlling our country, that's a relatively small number of people. So that, in my mind, that percentage of those making these kinds of decisions is very high. So then you take the lobbyists and add the lobbyists into this. For instance, if I have an issue with a law coming up and I'm only a $20 donor, is that politician going to take my phone call? Or if I'm a $6,200 donor, are you going to take my phone call? And we experienced that personally when we were fighting the fishermen, for the fishermen. Right?
Yes, and fighting the fishermen, yes, and until you had numbers out there.
I was saying fighting for the fishermen,
yes,
what
yes.
I should have said, because we were for the fishermen, we're against the government.
Against the government, and until you had numbers out there to fight this, the fringe element.
And we've also appeared in House of Representatives members in the state of North Carolina who told us point blank, I don't care what you think.
Yes, we've had that. But I want to go back to the fishermen a minute, because a number of us went down to Emerald Isle and spoke at a fishermen's meeting when they were trying to do something with the shrimp.
The succulent shrimp.
And I believe that the number of people who spoke there, because there must have been 20 or 30 people who spoke against what they were trying to do, and I believe that made a difference in what they eventually did.
I agree.
So we do have a voice when we band together.
Show up.
And speak out and show up.
The other criteria I remember that was part of the selection was in large cities. They lived in large cities. So, I mean, all this biased them to a...
But I think we see, generally speaking, the large cities are the hubs of the Democrat voters.
True.
The rural areas tend to be more conservative. Now, I don't know why that is. That doesn't make sense to me, but...
Well, it's because the people that live in the inner cities are on welfare. If you're getting your money from the government, then you're not going to complain about it. The people that live out in the country, they own their own house. They may have their own business. They're not taking a handout from the government.
They may be actually working,
working
a farm.
And they don't want the government bothering them.
It's what's called flyover country.
But their culture has changed to make the people who worked for a living when they retired to collect Social Security. Now they've even changed the name of it from benefit to entitlement to make it sound like everybody is being gifted by the government.
Regardless of the fact that you paid into it your whole working career.
Yeah, we're being fed a bill of goods just does not compute, I guess, is the way we want to put it. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for joining us at the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. And where are we going to head off now? Alan, you had a follow-up.
Yes, Bob, I appreciate it. But what I would like to do is follow up the conversation from the last segment where we were talking about government censorship through these social media platforms. And that's basically what we experienced with the topic that is unmentionable, I guess. But the point... If you look back historically, every totalitarian government begins with censorship of free speech. Okay? They all do it, and that becomes the beginning. Look at China. They monitor everything that their citizens do, and they give a score and so on and so forth. There was an interesting interview with Robert Kennedy, who's running as a third party person, trying to be a third party.
Is that No Name? Or?
No. Okay. No Name. No,
he's trying to get on the Democrat.
He wants to get on. And I don't agree with most of the things that he stands for because he's a way out leftist on a lot of things that I'm opposed to. However, I think he shocked the interviewers, and I can't remember whether it was CNN. It might have been CNN. And the interviewer asked him, who do you think is the biggest threat to democracy, Donald Trump or President Biden? And I think they asked that question fully anticipating that he would actually select Trump, like the Democrats want to send that message out. But he shocked the moment he came back, said, Biden. Biden is the biggest threat to democracy. And they asked him why. He said, because right after he got in office, he began pairing the government, his regime, with social media to block free speech on those sites. And apparently, Kennedy was himself blocked, taken off the sites or whatever, because he was saying something that the Biden regime did not like.
With those bad V words.
Yeah, and it is essentially, and we need to solve this problem with this free speech and what you're able to say, because it is a step that once it's in place, you lose your voice. We were talking before about the people in power not responding to the people anymore. If you don't even know what the people want anymore because they won't let it be communicated, then you really have a serious problem. So,
one of the things that I want to mention here is, as far as I know, as of now, the Biden administration has denied Robert Kennedy Jr. Secret Service protection. And considering the fact that he is running for president, that he has a certain percentage of voters supporting him, and looking at the history of his family, I think that is awful.
Well, if you look at it from the realistic standpoint of how these extremist Biden supporters, and to support Biden after all he's done in the last 3 years that taken this country in absolutely the wrong direction, there are extremists in that party, I am sure, that would like to see Kennedy out of the race. If they can stop him from, because he can't get on the ballots, that's where they're fighting him now. They're making it as difficult as they can to keep him getting on the ballot. The next step is eliminating him.
Well,
so he's not able to run one way or the other.
Well, they've already tried to keep Trump off the ballot. I mean, they're you know, at least they're consistent, I guess.
Alan, going back to your opening here, when you're talked about the social organizations, is that the new brown shirts that happened back in the Hitler era, where they just were, they're ratting on their own family, they're doing everything because it says in this piece of paper or whatever else that they're not, you're not supposed to discuss certain items?
Well, certainly the Hitler's SS did that, and they monitored what you were saying, and they had children, like you said, reporting on their parents, and they would do what the FBI does. What does the FBI do now? If there's something that the government, that you've done, that the government disagrees with, what do? They send in these goon squads with dressed in all this, you know,
full riot gear.
And these are SWAT team paraphernalia. And they come in and arrest people and drag them out.
What are these called? No-knock warrants now? Where they're just going to bust down your door?
No-knock warrants have been around for a long time.
But
not utilized for this purpose. But they had, for example, they're still going after people for January 6th.
Yeah.
And they had a couple of, there was a doctor and his wife on one of the shows the other day, and they describe what happened to them. 6 o'clock in the morning, the FBI descends on them. And what was their offense? They had a misdemeanor charge. Now, this is 3 years after the event. They're still coming for these people. And they were charged, their charge was misdemeanor, being in a place that they were not invited to be in. That's the charge. It wasn't damaging anything. It wasn't assaulting anybody. And 3.5 years later, they're still coming for these people. And the total now, I think they've arrested almost 1,300 people have been charged with crimes. And of those people, a little over 100 of them actually decided to go to trial. You know, you can plead guilty, which is what they want. They want you to cave in and plead guilty because it's expensive for attorneys and all that stuff. Over 100 and some odd people wanted to go to trial. Everyone was convicted. Not one of them was found not guilty. And several of them asked for a change in venue. Okay, because, you know, like Alan Dershowitz says, you can convict a ham sandwich and
D.C.
Washington, D.C., or New York City the same way. Every request for a venue was turned down. So this is the state of justice with the Biden regime. And it's scary and threatens the basis of this country.
Well, the judge that's going to hear Trump's D.C. case calls him Mr. Trump. She's made statements that he belongs in jail, and she ought to be recusing herself as well. But as I've remarked before, every one of these judges, except the Trump appointee down in
Florida,
should have recused themselves.
Well, it was a follow-up case. Was the one that they're going to start hearing? That's the Alvin Bragg case. With Judge Macron, I believe his name, is his daughter, is a Democrat fundraising person. She stands to directly benefit if Trump is found guilty. She raises funds for Adam Schiff, who was the main opponent trying to get Trump out of office with the impeachment inquiries. That judge has no business on there.
He just extended his gag order.
Yes, exactly. He said, well, you can't talk about these issues, which, again, is unconstitutional. Freedom of speech. But here's the deal. Any system in place that allows the individual who's suspect to make a decision about whether they should continue or not is flawed. There ought to be an independent group of people who look at the situation. Could be three other judges, something, preferably not in that district, who make that determination. But to allow the judge to be the final decision maker on whether he recuses himself, that's totally ridiculous. That's like saying to a defendant, you're charged with a crime, and who's going to decide whether you're guilty or not? You get to decide.
Well, in a jurisdiction that has multiple judges, it'll go to the senior judge. and he'll decide whether or not the man needs to recuse himself.
Well, we'll see what happens, but he needs to recuse himself, this guy.
I agree.
In light of that, I want to talk about the fact that the Section 702 of the FISA Act is coming up for renewal on April 19th. Now, this has been abused unbelievably by our government. According to the Conservative Review, the FBI violated American citizens' Fourth Amendment rights 278,000 times with illegal, unauthorized FISA 702 searches.
Now, what does a 702 allow?
It's a warrantless search on an American citizen.
Warrantless?
Warrantless.
So how does that work?
They go to the FISA judge and they say, I want to wiretap or I want to surveil such and such because I think they're a foreign agent or whatever. And if the judge says yes, they do it.
No proof is needed.
Oh, well, they write an affidavit.
Okay.
Like, but nobody, the defendant, the person they want to surveil, they never get to see it. They never hear about it. They have no opportunity to contest it.
Or defend themselves.
Exactly. They use these FISA warrants against Trump during the Russia collusion.
Right. And my understanding was that the title of this is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance.
Yes.
And that it was never intended to be used against Americans.
That's
well,
true.
I was a signals intelligence officer, and during Nixon's time, when he was accused of trying to surveil his political opponents, there was a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And they drilled it into us that if we were listening to something and the name of an American citizen was named, that we were to point that out immediately. That information was to be redacted. The only time they could listen to the American citizen part is if they were talking to a known foreign agent, and that had to be bumped up. I'm horrified that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act now allows him to surveil Americans. So we actually have a police state.
Well, we don't know how many of us are being surveilled because we have opinions. And even though the show is supposed to be nonpartisan, we are conservatives. So a lot of what we say could be misconstrued.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I think we're going to come right back to the same topic. Thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you wanted to?
I want to continue the discussion of the FISA Section 702 and illustrate how badly it was used politically. Carter Page was a businessman who frequently traveled to Russia and who had done some investigative work for the FBI while he was in Russia.
CIA.
Okay, I'm sorry. And that's right. FBI is domestic.
And the FBI knew that he was a CIA contact when they used this cover story that he was going to Russia and talking to Russian people to prove that he was, you know,
he was an agent.
He was an agent of the Russians. And if you recall, there was one young attorney who changed an email to cover up the fact that he was a CIA contact. He got a slap on the wrist, lost his law license, and has already got it back.
Yeah. But that opened the door, because of the way FISA works, for full surveillance of the Trump campaign. And at one point, there was and I don't remember which military man it was. It was a military man who walked into Trump Tower and said to Trump, "You've got to get out of here. This place is bugged." And Trump had then moved everything to Bedminster in New Jersey.
His golf course,
because he could avoid the government surveillance there. Now, he was the president. The government had no business surveilling him, but it was political, and the deep state wanted him out of there, and they were looking for anything they could find. And that's the 702, Section 702, comes up for renewal in April. And I don't want to see it renewed. I think it's been misused, and I don't trust any of our politicians to behave themselves in terms of having that available to them.
So, Mary, I would assume that you are asking our listeners to contact their congresspeople and tell them, please do not do this.
Yes, because we have problems with the FBI. We have problems with the CIA. We may not be able to address all of them, but this is one that we have a shot at actually addressing.
But in two phases. One, they're proposing some modifications to it to allow them to monitor us even more closely, much like we were monitored just last week, but to monitor us more closely. That's one change. So should we not allow a change, or should we not allow the renewal of the whole thing? What's the downside of not renewing the whole thing?
I'm against renewal because they have not demonstrated the ability to live within even reasonable boundaries. Yeah. I'd say until they've got systems in place that ensure they stay in bounds, they don't get it renewed.
Well, what is the procedure for keeping them in bounds? The misuse of the FISA Surveillance Act court has the judges, there's FISA judges that are appointed to the court, and they take turns being in charge of the deciding whether or not there's going to be a warrant. And there's a senior judge that's in charge of it. Well, the senior judge was notified of the bad actions of the lying on the warrants. She did nothing. And the person that oversees her is Chief Justice Roberts, and he did nothing.
Who appoints these FISA judges?
I think John Roberts.
But does anybody know of any government power that's given to them that does not eventually at some way get abused? I can't name of any. Look at the FBI. Look at EPA, what they're doing. They're coming out with all these mandates. They have no legal or
regulations.
No legislative authorization to do the things they're doing. Look what they're trying to force EVs down everybody's throats. the government always, this always happens. This is why the founding fathers wanted the federal government to be limited, and they wrote in all these limitations. But what we're doing, we're giving them more and more power. And, you know, another one that's coming down the pipe here, or the pike, is the issue about this digital currency. There are some central banks in some countries, and including, I believe, the Federal Reserve here. I don't know exactly whether they've taken a position on it, but they want to implement this digital currency. What will that do? That will give the government total control over how you spend your money.
Or if you can spend your money.
If you spend it and how. For example, they could control how far you leave from your house. If they thought you should stay within a restricted area, all they do is they cut off your ability to pay for something outside that. And this, and people say, well, this is a good thing. It has some advantage. Everything has advantages and disadvantages. With the government, the less power you give them, historically, the better off you are.
I wonder about that.
And that power is, my thinking is very dangerous.
What about OnStar on the cars? You know, that's satellite controlled as well.
Oh, yeah, they know where you are.
Well, not just that they know where we are, but if they have the ability to unlock my car if I left my keys in it, what's going to stop them from turning my car off?
Yes. What you're talking about, Alan, is something called 15-minute cities, where you have people concentrated in a small area, and they are limited as to how far they can travel. They've already tried this in England, and you can only travel outside your 15 minutes with permission. And you're allowed to travel once or twice a month or something like that. So what do you do if we have grandchildren in Massachusetts and New York? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to not see them?
Yes.
And you see this process, this digital currency, really to excess of what place? China. You go into China, they have digital money there. The cash is not used hardly at all. I don't even know whether they even issue it anymore. And, of course, that's what they're trying to do in this country. When's the last time you paid something in cash? I can't remember. I always use my credit card because it's convenient. But on the other hand, when you give the government even more power in this direction, there's no way that you're going to be able to keep from having it controlled. For example, in China, they use facial recognition. When you go into a store and you want to pay for something, they use facial recognition to determine who you are, what you're buying, and you get a social score as a result of that.
Have they found Tammy Faye Baker yet?
I don't even know who Tammy Faye Baker is. But anyway, too much. I don't know whether they have, but...
too much makeup. No, but you know, and in this country, folks, are you willing to go into the local pawn shop or gun shop and buy a firearm legally with your known permit, and then go out further when you know that gives them access to say, okay, we need to hit that red flag, that brand new red flag law, and come after that person because that credit card receipt says they bought a firearm, so therefore they must be a problem.
They're crazy if they think they need a gun.
That's right. Yeah, that's unfortunately that red flag law went in.
It did pass.
As far as I know, it's there.
Is that federal?
Yes.
Yes.
It was part of the budget.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was hidden in the budget, in the $1.2 trillion budget.
Well, who gets to decide which of us is a risk? Because
well, what happens, the classic example to me, what happens if a wife and a husband gets divorced and she wants his guns to be taken away?
Well, what happens if I have PMS? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, there's times in my life where I have been irrationally angry, but that doesn't mean that I'm certifiably crazy.
Or a threat to anyone.
Well, if you're divorcing and you've already divided the property and he's got the guns, she can't get the government to take his guns because they've already separated. However, where this comes up is when there's domestic violence. She wants a restraining order, and she wants his guns taken while this is pending and during this period of time where they have domestic violence. And when I was in New Mexico, we would go take their guns because you were afraid that during this period he was going to show up at her house with a gun and, you know, attack her.
But I can see it being used not in domestic abuse cases. I can see it as a gun seizure issue where a physician can say, well, I've got X number of patients taking mood-altering drugs or anxiety drug or an antidepressant, which could be the trigger that no guns in the house because you take an antidepressant. So that would take the guns in the entire house away, not just that of the person taking the anxiety medication.
Well, to be consistent, they would have to reveal how many of these mass shooters are taking antidepressants because there is a connection. In some people's minds, in some researchers' minds, there's a connection between all of these mind-altering drugs that we have people on, and it's a huge percentage, and these mass shooters.
But you said in some people's mind, that isn't necessarily factual. That's just something that
I'm talking about researchers. I don't mean just strange people with, you know, they're researching the issue.
We were aware of a situation up in New York, actually a number of years ago, where after a divorce, the husband went to pick up his child from his former spouse, and she then filed a complaint with the police that because he had come with a gun exposed and they had to remove his firearms from him for some apparent reason.
Well, did they have open carry?
He was a former police officer.
And
so
he had the right to carry.
And he had the right to carry, and they removed it. So it got pretty darn sticky, and then from that point on, he had to go and meet and pick up the child at known transfer places or open.
Like McDonald's.
Yeah, like McDonald's. Someplace obvious.
Here again, it's lawfare. It's going to be somebody making an arbitrary decision whether you are competent to have a weapon or not.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m., and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.
Welcome back, folks. And again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call show. Alan, yes, you have something.
Yes, thanks, Bob. A couple of shows ago, there was a discussion about the squatter problem that's occurring, not so much, I don't think, in North Carolina yet, that we're aware of, but in some other states. There was a case reported this morning that I heard on the TV about. This happened in New York State, where they had a gang of illegals. They actually occupied a dwelling. I think it was maybe the basement or something like that, and it was a pretty good group of them. They had gotten motorcycles by now, because the money we're giving them, you know, $1,000 a month, they can buy whatever they want. And so the landlord did not even know anything about it, ostensibly. But so given that problem, and interestingly enough, Florida, which it's so great to hear that when Florida sees a problem, they deal with it. And they just passed the law, signed by Governor DeSantis, that alters their squatter law. And it basically does two things. First thing, in North Carolina and most other states now, if you go off somewhere and you come back and find somebody's occupied your home, and they claim that they're legitimately there and they're a squatter and so on, you can call law enforcement. But law enforcement cannot take them out immediately. So that's the first thing they changed. They've changed the law so that if someone is squatting on your property, you can come in, you notify local law enforcement, and they can immediately remove that person. Now, you have to show evidence that that's your residence and so on and so forth. So that's one thing they changed. So it takes the burden off the home, off the property owner to have to go to court first. The second thing they did was they made the occupying of somebody else's property a criminal act. So that person can actually be charged with a crime, not just evicted, but now they can actually go to prison. And so they can be charged with a crime.
Isn't trespass already a crime?
They claim they're not trespassing. Difference between trespassing and being a squatter. The squatter laws allow people historically to occupy somebody else's property and claim that they are there for some legitimate reason.
They claim they're a squatter?
But that's what the squatter laws do.
If they've been there 30 days, they have rights.
Yeah.
They're not trespassing after 30 days?
No.
They are
now. Even if they broke into the house?
He's already said it. Maybe I can clarify it for you. Squatting, getting people evicted, landlord-tenant law, it's civil. You have to go serve them. You have to file in court and get it and then serve them. And then they've got time to answer it. And it can take months to get them out of there.
But I'm still not clear. I don't understand how it's different than trespassing, because people get arrested for trespassing. So I'm confused how it differs.
Because when the police show up, they tell them, I have a lease.
And they don't have to prove it?
They have a written lease. How else would you have them prove it?
Well, do you have an electric bill in your name? Do you have the property tax document? There would be ways.
I have a lease. I have a lease.
What the police, if you call the police when they show up, they go, this is a civil matter. It's not criminal and there's nothing we can do. So you can call them. They're not going to do anything for you in a civil state. Now in Florida, they made it a crime to squat.
Okay, so what happens? We have the castle law in North Carolina. Right?
That's got nothing to do with it.
Well, let me finish my question.
All right.
So we have the castle law in North Carolina. So if I'm on vacation, say I go to Europe for 6 weeks and I come home and I find that somebody's squatting in my house, I go in my house, I have a gun, I have the right to protect my own property. What happens?
The castle law regards the use of deadly force.
Well, if someone's squatting in my house, that's probably where I'd be inclined.
You can't go in there and shoot them.
I might want to.
Can't do it.
But the thing, the reason I bring this up is the question now becomes whether we here in North Carolina need to amend our law so that we have the same rights as people in Florida have now.
Yes, we do.
And if we do need to amend it, then we need to get on, contact our state representatives and senators, and get them to address it.
Have our resident intellect attorney over here draft a bill for us.
Ha! what I have said before, is that I foresee when the housing dries up and they're evicted from the housing and the money dries up, we're going to have roving gangs across all 50 states looking for a place to squat.
Oh, wow.
And if we don't fix the problem before they show up, it's going to be a massive problem.
That's scary.
Well, where are they going to go?
That's right. Well, that's scary. And there was something last year up in New York, I believe, where they wanted to make it law that you let some of the illegals come into your home.
Well, it's volunteer. It's voluntary.
And the thing is, getting back to the illegals, it's very important to understand, we don't know where these illegals are in North Carolina.
Right.
I contacted our local sheriff, who's a great guy, does a great job, about this issue. And he said it's his impression that he doesn't think there's been a big influx of illegals to Craven County. Now, I did not inquire as to where he forms his basis of the knowledge. His impression may be based on arrests or whatever. I don't know the state where he's getting his information from. But here's the thing. We need a mechanism in place where we can track illegals in Craven County.
I think it would be easy to do through the school system.
But you could do that a couple of ways. What they did in Florida, again, Florida becomes the example of what to do before it becomes an issue. A lot of legislators will say, well, it's not a problem in North Carolina. You don't wait till it's a problem to deal with something, in my opinion. You should anticipate a coming problem and deal with it. But what they did in Florida, they require the medical facilities, hospitals, so on, to report and keep a record of the illegals that they're providing services to. So then you have a record of the people. Now, that's not going to cover every illegal in the county, but it gives you a mechanism of tracing it. And that's what we need in Craven County. We need the Board of Commissioners to come out and propose and pass a law or rule or regulation, whatever they do at the county level, to require hospitals, schools, you can get information, social services. That's another thing. We said it, a lot of these illegals getting social services. When I contact the social services group here in Craven County, the supervisor told me they don't track that. They don't even ask the question. We should be asking the question. We should be monitoring these people. So that if there are issues, then we go ahead and deal with it.
So we're in that situation now where I don't, as a U.S. citizen, I don't want to be tracked ultimately, but yet I want someone else to be tracked. I do know that if I have to go and get a library card or whatever else, I have to show a valid ID, a valid.
Well, we give illegals valid driver's licenses here in North Carolina. Why?
I contend that there is no illegal that should be given any of the citizen rights. They are here illegally. They broke the law. They go to jail. If I go to Mexico by taking a wrong turn, I don't get to seek asylum. I go to jail. If I go to Germany and try to set up without a passport or a visa, I go to jail. Why are we inviting these people here unless the agenda is to overwhelm the system and go to the chaos of the, what was that book, Glenn? The
Cloward Piven.
Yes.
And I think the reason for that is, Kim, is that it's not we doing it. This is the Biden regime. Oh. And they have goals that are inconsistent with maintaining the freedom of this country. If you allow illegals to have the same rights and privileges and so as citizenship, why should anybody want to become a citizen?
Well, the illegal situation has been going on for a really long time. When Reagan gave immunity, that was supposed to solve the problem. Then was it Clinton with the DACA, or was that Obama with
that
the DACA?
Obama
with the DACA, that was supposed to solve the problem. We're not solving the problem, we're compounding it.
And we have agencies that are being paid a lot of money to process these illegals into our systems.
Just to add to the discussion, in Massachusetts, the former Chelsea Soldiers Home facility is being turned into housing for migrants.
I don't know how, because it's been condemned.
Well, they're refurbishing it so the migrants can live there. Meanwhile, we have 545 veterans homeless in Massachusetts on one night.
In North Carolina, we have a refurbished Jewish school that's supposed to be a school boarding home for unaccompanied
in
minors.
Greensboro. Yes. We're not taking care of our own people, and we're not valuing, as Alan said, we're not valuing citizenship. And we need to correct that, or we will find ourselves without a country.
I noticed nobody mentioned the fact that the reason the Democrats are doing it, they want to turn them all into Democrat voters, and there will never be another Republican elected ever again. It'll
and
be a one-party country.
Republicans want the cheap labor.
Yeah. And that's being demonstrated in the large cities. They've shown their hand on that.
Right.
Did we have one other topic that we wanted to hit today?
I just wanted to mention that there was an article out that 900 women have lost awards, scholarships, and other honors to men. Men who just simply claim, I'm a woman. And these 300 have won titles.
And we're treating them unfairly because they claim and we're not believing them. Yes, okay.
And that's with Title IX existing for the purpose of protecting them that's being distorted and... It's nuts.
And this is essentially is just another case of, just like we were just talking, another case of where we should have taken proactive action to prevent these oddball situations.
Well, Congressman Jerry Nadler stood up in Congress and said, it's not true.
Okay. Folks, I'm sorry, we're going to run out of time. And we thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call, and you have a great day.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.